it's an interesting utterance, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We will see it forcefully, the fullness of it, in Matthew, really, more than Luke, but it is there. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if we are talking about morally, what is it for us? The way that, dear brethren, we conduct ourselves, individuals and collectively, it has to be absolutely according to the mind of heaven. This means what I'm doing here, as far as the will of God, if I was ushered to heaven, it will be absolutely the same. Absolutely the same. The unfortunate thing, there are two things. One has to be mentioned about the will of God. There is the moral will of God that never changes. So what's the difference between heaven and earth? The will of God is ever going to be accomplished. Nobody's going to stand against the will of God and say, "Well, I'm going to alter it." No. There's no thought like this over here. But the will of God in heaven never faces resistance. That's the difference. God is going to accomplish His will, regardless of what you and I might say or do about it. But in heaven, there is no resistance against God's will. The problem here on earth, even amongst us morally, that somehow we might have that spirit of resistance. I might not like it, but it's the will of God. I wish it's different. Well, be unequally yoked. Well, that's the will of God. But I love Him, you know. So forth and so on. So, dear brethren, if we want to be in the good of this morally, I have to understand it, that when it comes to the will of God, there should be no resistance from you and from me. Because in heaven, nobody stands before God and resists His will. And on earth, especially you and I, we should never resist the will of God. And that's why 1 Thessalonians 5 is very, very beautiful. "In everything, give thanks. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing." That's the subject. "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you." Sometimes we ask the question, well, what's the will of God? Well, there are certain things that are very clear. What is the will of God? These three things are part of the will of God. So let's exercise them.
Brother pointed out that if there is obedience, it really only is proven when we would rather do something else, but we do what the one who is over us said to do instead. Like if somebody says, well, I would like you to do this, and we already thought it was a good idea, that's not really obeying. We're just agreeing, yeah, that's a great idea, I'm going to do that, that's what I want to do. But if someone says, do that, and that wasn't really what we wanted to do, but we do it because of the one who said it, that's really the test of obedience. And when did that ever happen in the world? It's only once, right? It's only the Lord Jesus, "Lo, I come to do your will, O God." And I was thinking of the connection in the Psalms. I think it might be Psalm 78. It might be one of the other Psalms, maybe 105, where it says that the people in the wilderness ate angels' food. I think it's Psalm 78. Someone could correct me if it's a different one. And so it's talking about the manna, and as they're going through the wilderness, they ate angels' food. And just to make a little connection, a couple of steps, the angels are the ones who also, they always do the will of God. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, aren't the angels ministering spirits? They're the ones who serve. They just go, they're sent out. God sends them out to do His will. And they do it. So if we're going to eat the angels' food, then we'll be nourished, could we say, in a figurative speech, like the angels. We'll have the same source of strength as the angels. And what is that? That's the manna. And what is that? It's the Lord Jesus here in this world. I am the true bread from heaven. I came down to this world in His humble ways here. The Lord Jesus is the only one, really, who it could ever have been said that He did the will of His Father just as the will of God is done in heaven. So if we're going to have any opportunity to have this verse descriptive of us in a moral way, like we're saying, carrying it out with the right behavior, it's going to be to appreciate the way the Lord Jesus did that. here on the earth, to fill ourselves with Him, not to sort of psych ourselves up and say, today I'm going to try harder than yesterday, but it's that I'm just going to enjoy how the Lord Jesus served His Father, did God's will here. And as we often say, the more we look upon Him, the more we become like Him, because that's the work that the Spirit of God wants to do.
Amen. Just to illustrate that about doing God's will rather than what we like to do, I heard a story about a Sunday school teacher asked the children a question, what is sin? And the little girl says, it's everything I like to do. It pretty well says it all. The thing with the Christian, though, we're millennial. Or we're ought to be millennial before the millennium comes. You know, grace reigns through righteousness in us. In the kingdom, righteousness will reign through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. There will still be evil occurrent. He will swiftly put it down. It will be an absolute monarchy. Not a constitutional monarchy like we have in Canada. Certainly not republicanism, but I would go there. It'll be an absolute monarchy, a rule of rod of iron here on the earth. But you know, as Christians here, by the power of the Spirit, in our homes, assemblies, in our personal walk, there ought to be that display of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not a meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the millennial side that we should show forth here. We're first fruits of His creatures. Before the day is here, we ought to be showing the day in our lives.
And I think to get really the right perspective on that, because sometimes our mind is tainted in regard to these things, and we always have the feeling that the will of God is something that is really not good or not good for me, or I think it is better if it's my will than His will. And we have that conflict in our life all the time, and that's why, well, I wanted to do it my way. I wanted to do it according to my will. I think this is the will of the Father here. It's, again, I'm just sticking with the scripture. It is the will of the Father. Yes, of course, it is the will of God, but it is the will of the Father. And it's connected with Ephesians chapter 1. When you have there, the Father is brought before us, and what is? You have the counsel of His will, you have the pleasure, the good pleasure of His will, you have the mystery of His will. And when you look at the will of the Father toward us, there is nothing but blessings. Every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. So that is the will of the Father. So it's kind of be foolish to kind of fight against Him and to try to have my own will, because He knows what's really best for me. The challenge that for all of us to really appreciate that, especially when we are young, how could I be confirmed to the will of the Father? Instead of trying to confirm the Father's will to my own will, which is really our struggle all the time, but really in the spirit of obedience and subjection that we are hearing about, is knowing that there is no, I think he later on said, you know, if you are evil and know how to give your children good gifts, how about your Father who's in heaven? When I approach God, that He has the best for me. He has the best for me. His will for me is always good. It's always delight. It's always pleasure. I would not approach Him with a fighting spirit. No. Switch your mind. Change your mind and give me what I want. I will be in complete subjection, because nothing, He would not withhold any good thing from those who fear Him.